This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The summit between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ended hastily with no agreement over the North to denuclearize. There are two versions as to actually what happened, with the president saying that the North wanted too much by way of complete sanctions relief, and the North saying they only wanted partial relief. And back in the United States, the president is receiving support from a political rival, AP's Sagarmagani.
You don't often hear top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer say this.
President Trump did the right thing.
Former CIA Korea expert Bruce Klingner agrees. No deal's better than a bad one.
I think the president did the right thing.
And while Klingner says it appears the two leaders left things on good terms,
I don't think we're going to have a return to the fire and fury or the concerns of imminent hostilities, at least for the foreseeable future.
The Arms Control Association's Daryl Kimball says the North Korean threat's not going away.
It still is there, and we still must deal with it.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
There are other metaphorical fires for the president to contend with back at home, with his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, providing scathing testimony about the president before Congress over several days. California Congressman Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, says Cohen was cooperative with the committee's investigation, but will need to return next week.
We had a long day, but it wasn't a long enough day. And we very much appreciate Mr. Cohen's cooperation. He has obviously had three very long days. He'll be returning on March 6th for additional testimony.
Thursday's developments come on the heels of public testimony the day before from a Cohen in which he called his former boss, President Trump, a racist, a con man, and a cheat. And Mr. Trump pushed back Thursday during a news conference in Vietnam, saying that Cohen is incorrect and he lied a lot. This is VOA News. Conflicting accounts have emerged regarding the fate of the Islamic State terror group's self-proclaimed caliphate, pitting the word of the President of the United States against that of U.S.-backed forces on the ground in Syria. President Trump on Thursday appeared to announce the fall of the last sliver of the Islamic State's caliphate, a small collection of tents and ruined buildings in the eastern Syrian village of Baghouz. Mr. Trump's comments and assessment drew a sharp rebuke on Twitter from the YPG spokesman Zana Ahmedi, who berated what was characterized as the president's ignorance regarding the battle from front as abhorrent. Mr. Trump's comments also contrasted with a statement made earlier in the day by the lead commander of U.S.-backed forces in Syria, who said it would still be days before total victory of the caliphate. Culminating a two-year-long investigation by police, Israel's attorney general has now announced his intention to indict Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for bribery, breach of trust, and fraud.
The attorney general's recommendation for indictment comes 39 days before Israel's election and could swing support away from Netanyahu and his Likud party. A new centrist party, including three former army chiefs of staff, is gaining ground. Netanyahu insists that he will not step down unless he is convicted. Even a final decision on indicting him after the hearing could take months. At the same time, the attorney general said he was dropping charges against Netanyahu's wife, Sara, in a separate investigation. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, Jerusalem.
A Somali official told VOA that two suicide car bombs exploded in Mogadishu Thursday evening, killing at least 15 people. That first explosion occurred when a vehicle loaded with explosives were detonated at one of the capital's busiest streets. An hour after that explosion, a second one occurred outside another hotel near the busy K4 junction in Mogadishu. No confirmation of casualties from the second explosion. Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility. The ongoing tensions between India and Pakistan that have led to both sides flexing their military muscles this week were triggered by a terror attack claimed by the U.S.-designated terror group in Pakistan. They also claimed that both sides claiming that they've shot down one another's fighter jets.
The captured pilot, who has been identified as Wing Commander Abhinandan, he has become the face of an escalation that saw Pakistan down two Indian fighter jets in the contested Kashmir region. That came a day after Indian warplanes struck suspected militants inside Pakistan. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi told a rally of supporters on Thursday they would unite against their enemies.
That's Reuters' Megan Revel reporting. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.